The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I don't think I could make that fast. Yeah, but don't push me. Hey, this is Father Boskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, well, about moving one step in front of the other, putting your feet in the shoes of someone else. It's about all kinds of stuff. It's about viewing life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up. We call that Armenodoxy, and we invite you to take a step with us right now. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the Initiates Mission, and brought to you on Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I'm glad you're aboard with us. Yes, the whole gang is here. We have all assembled in the mighty epostle.net studio, and we're ready to put out this episode of The Next Step. I know, you're saying, what mighty epostle.net studio? I know, last week on Compass, I made a Hitchcockian appearance. It was one of these cameos that turned out to be a seat that I had on Compass now, and I'm going to have on that Compass show. But I have to tell you, we gave the illusion that somehow we are lost in the mighty Epostle studio. Well, let me just say it like this. It's not too mighty, but it gets our job done. We are so thankful. We are thankful that God has given us this opportunity to get out to you. And whatever the condition may be, it's kind of crummy too. Don't tell anybody. Whatever the condition of the studio may be, it is ours. And it is the place from which we offer this broadcast. So I'm glad you're with us today. If you're joining us for our first Next Step, welcome aboard. If you've been on with us, if you're taking some walks with us, some leaps of faith, if you're actually running, jogging with us, I'm glad to have you with us. It gets tiring up here. It is 175th episode. Can you believe that? Yeah. High five me. Yeah. That sounds good. 175 episodes of The Next Step are now in place. And along that way, we've talked about just about everything. I want to give a nice shout out to our friends in Brazil. Yes, we heard from you people, and we are going to actually implement some of the things that you're saying, including the ideas that you suggested about iTunes distribution. We are looking into that, and we're really excited that The Next Step is reaching out to all different areas throughout the world. And well, like I said, our Brazilian friends are very, very dear to us. In fact, because of a recent conversation, just a couple days ago, we had an opportunity to Skype with one of our listeners out in Brazil. I was going to say down in Brazil, but I know that's so America-centric, isn't it? Huh? I mean, like, who's to say what's down and who's to say what's up? I mean, is it possible of picturing a map with south being up? Well, I mean, for us in the Northern Hemisphere, it's unheard of. But I'll play it easy. I'll play it safe, okay? And say we had a chance to Skype with a listener out in Brazil. And it gave us a chance to really reflect back on what the intention and purpose of The Next Step was. It is to become a voice of Armenian Orthodoxy, a voice of In His Shoes, in other words, the philosophy of Armenian Orthodoxy, that we feel each other's pain. By feeling it, we learn to respect one another. By respecting one another, we lay the groundwork for love and ultimately peace. And all of this is part of this, this combination that comes together because of our past, because we have been a people that have been persecuted, because we have known even genocide. We now have an obligation to be a reflection of victory. Yes, People who have gone through genocide now have an obligation. And I want to talk about that in just a little bit. We're going to get into that because it is really important for us to reiterate why we are here. Because I sometimes forget, yes, we are at episode 175, but it doesn't mean that everybody's gone through the 175 episodes with us. So it's important that along the way, we kind of lean back and remember, kick back for a few minutes and remember what this is all about. So we're going to get to that in a later portion of today's show. Also, of course, we have Ani with her bubbles. I got to tell you something exciting happened today. Well, I could say it's exciting. I had a doctor's appointment in Hollywood. Now, I've got to tell you about this area that we call Hollywood, okay? Hollywood, you should know, is the home for a large, large Armenian community. In fact, it's so large that on the east side of Hollywood, there is a sign that says Little Armenia. Yes, it is a section. There is like a little Tokyo in Los Angeles. There's different sections of the city are called different, well, and some of them based on their ethnic makeup. So there is a Little Armenia section in Hollywood. Hollywood, California, of course. What are you talking? Yeah, California. Yes, in California, there's Los Angeles, largest city in California, and a little section of that is called Hollywood, and a little section of that Hollywood is called Little Armenia. So I had a doctor's appointment, and the building that I'm in is the eighth, it has eight floors. The appointment that I had was on the eighth floor, okay? So I'm overlooking a little section of Little Armenia. And I get a text. I get a text from our Ani that she's going to be running a little bit late to today's taping because she's got a memo that the Armenian Pope is coming to Children's Hospital today. And he represents the leader of the Armenian Orthodox Christians. This is in a small memo that they had sent to her. So she's excited about that, and she's sending it over to me, saying that the Armenian Pope is going to be in Hollywood. Okay, I know you next steppers are now saying, what Armenian Pope? What is Armenian Pope? Okay, well, of course, we're talking about a Catholicos. Catholicos, for lack of a term in the West, for Catholicos, they call it a Pope, I guess. This is in the press release, or this is what the hospital staff has sent her, that the Armenian Pope is coming. So lo and behold, it happens to be His Holiness Catholicos Aram I. So I am in a little waiting room up in the hospital, in doctor's office, overlooking Children's Hospital, where an entourage of an Armenian cleric from Beirut, Lebanon, is to arrive in this small little section called Little Armenia. I'm just going, wow, you talk about surrealism. Well, here it is, and there we are. Right? You're talking the ancient world meets today, entourages, and here's a priest getting a checkup overlooking the Armenian quote-unquote Pope. And I got to tell you something. I used to be a sucker for these things, but things have changed. Times have changed. I got to tell you, when you start reading some of the stuff that's been coming out, some of the things that have been said, and they are saying, you've got to really wonder, what is this all about? I mean, at what point do you start putting, remember we were talking last week about mission, and how appropriate that we are sitting on the week. You know which week we are at? In the Armenian church calendar, this week we celebrate, or we commemorate, the holy evangelists. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What was their purpose? To evangelize, right? And what happens to be the Bible reading for this Sunday, this coming Sunday? Luke chapter 4:17. So look at this. All of this coming together. You've got a priest up in a doctor's office overlooking Little Armenia where an Armenian pontiff is coming to visit a children's hospital. And in his mind, we're thinking about the holy evangelists who are evangelizing Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the mission of the Armenian church, the mission of the Christian church. We're going to talk about that too today. Do I got you excited? I don't know how excited that is. I'm really excited. I mean, like, it gets me pumped up about things like this. It's like there are no coincidences, you know? They all come together. What a week we've had. I know before I get to the song of the day. Thank you, Susie. Susie's reminding me that we've just gone through such an incredible week. Last Saturday, we were out at the abortion clinic praying. I hope you've been praying. We are in this period of 40 days. And whatever your stance on abortion may be, whatever you may think, because I know we have listeners from all walks of life, all different philosophies, whatever your stance are, there is an opportunity for us to pray about, well, about life. And that's what we did. We went to the abortion clinic in Glendale, and we gathered, a small group of us, and we started praying. What did we pray? Actually, I think one of the most touching moments for me was when we prayed the prayer of St. Nerses Shnorhali. And in that prayer, have mercy on all your creatures, and on me, a great sinner. It was repeated over and over, 24 verses corresponding to the 24 hours of the day. There was a non-Armenian lady with us praying, and when she read these prayers, she was completely, totally moved. And it occurred to me, it's not when you pray at different events, whether it's at an abortion clinic, whether it's with your family, whether it's in your car or by yourself, the opportunity for prayer gives you this chance to connect to something higher than yourselves. And this is what we need in life, right? You need a little bit of a retreat, a little bit of stop. You know, it's like we're on fast forward all the time. I know this is going way back, but in the olden days, we used to have these things called, are you ready for this? Cassettes. Do you remember those? The cassettes, you'd stick them in a cassette player. And then you'd press fast forward, and you could watch the wheels spinning so fast, and you'd have to press the stop button for it to stop. Don't you sometimes feel that that's our life? We're just in fast forward. And sometimes if life gets you in the wrong way, it's like without pausing, somebody's hit the rewind button, and then you go backwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. Hey, prayer is an opportunity to press the pause button. You know what the pause button is? It's the one that stops all the mechanism, but it doesn't kill the mechanism. The stop button is the stop. It's over. Power off. Oh, that's the big one. But pause gives you a chance. Things are still running in the background, but it gives you a chance to just reflect. That's what prayer is. And I think that this week has really been such an emotional roller coaster for so many of us. We've been praying at abortion clinics. We've been putting out this kind of programming on apostle.net. We've been calling, we've been answering a big call. And on top of it, we have a chance to reflect about the mission of the church since this pontiff, His Holiness Catholicos Aram I, is in town. You get a chance to reflect, like, hey, what are we doing here as a church, as a community, as a people? What is the purpose of the institution? Is it just to parade around? Is it to have motorcades? Is it to look for photo ops where we can parade around somebody who's going to pray over children? Or is it really something that's very surrealistic? Here in modern America, you're bringing in somebody from the old country, and you have a priest that's dealing with issues, and he's in a doctor's office overlooking a scene called Little Armenia, and people are scrambling around to make their living and accenting everything. I mean, this is wild. And that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. I hope you're with me. It's going to be a fun one today. I start off every show with a song of the day. If you're ready for this one, I am picked out something great. It is from Avedik. Excuse me, Khachadur Avedisyan. I was going to say Avedik Isahagyan. Then we'd go into the poetry. My head's somewhere up. But hey, I'm thinking about you. Avedik Isahagyan. That's who wrote Lilith. Well, we'll get to that. I promised you. Anyway, for right now, we are going to listen to... this is off of a CD called Hayot Hovik. And it is Khachadur Avedisyan song, Var Shabadi Bar. Var Shabad is the town in which Holy Echmiadzin, the Cathedral of Holy Echmiadzin, is found. Yes, the traditional town, Var Shabadi Bar. Enjoy. Thank you. hope you enjoyed that. Isn't that beautiful? That is called Var Shabadi Bar, and it is by Khachadur Avedisyan. You know, Khachadur Avedisyan always has these beautiful songs orchestrated to Armenian traditional instruments. And this is off an album called Hayot Hovik. And like always, we'll put a little link on our show notes. And it is Hayot Hovik, is like the breeze of Armenia, you know, melodies from Armenia. Just beautiful, beautiful songs. Encourage you to get used to Khachadur Avedisyan, beautiful musician who brought together our ancient Armenian tunes in a very modern manner. I just love him because it's like the Armenian orchestra. You know, the other day I was listening to somebody talk about symphonies. They were asking actually the dean of music over at USC about what does it mean to have a full symphony? And he was describing the different components that make up a full symphony. I guess certain orchestrations require a full symphony. Think about it in terms of what you just heard. What is a full symphony? What is a full orchestra? Well, it's made up of all these beautiful instruments that you heard. Kanuns, kamanches, tar, and duduk, and dahul. All coming together just to give you this incredible sensation of a homeland, sometimes so far away and yet so close. And, well, you know what? That's a perfect transition. That is a perfect way to get into what we're talking about. Talk about something so far away and yet so close. Because, this is the week of the Holy Evangelists, and also the Bible reading for this weekend. If you look up in your lectionary, it is from Luke chapter 4, verse 17. It is a very special one for me because it was 29 years ago on this Sunday that I celebrated my first divine liturgy, and that was the lectionary reading for that particular Sunday. Yes, no surprise. Nothing has changed in the Armenian Church 29 years. Here's a little bigger surprise. Okay, it hasn't for the last two millennium, but that's also a good thing, right? Because if you want to get back to what the roots are about, there it is. You go into the Armenian Church and you are, well, you're with the roots. And you know what? I get this comment so often. So many people come and tell me this, that when they come into our church, they really feel like they go back in time, but they realize at all times that they are here. And I think that's the beauty of the Armenian Church when done right. When done right, I have to tell you this, because unfortunately we're not doing it right in so many churches. And that's why you have so few people attending, because it's mostly looked on as an opera, as an operetta. You know, last night, if you caught the Questions in Faith show that we did, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, and somebody made a comment that, you know, they came to our church and they felt right in place. Well, we talk a lot of times in Questions in Faith, we talk about the Armenian Divine Liturgy. Because, after all, it is the single most repeated service. And there's a reason why it is repeated, because it brings home the essence of Christianity, the sacrifice made by God, and in turn the sacrifice that is required of us to make for one another. And in fact, the word in Armenian divine liturgy is called badarak. Badarak means sacrifice. And this badarak takes place on a cross, like the original sacrifice took place on a cross. Jesus was nailed to a cross, and it is there that he sacrifices his life. And so every Sunday we reenact that badarak, that sacrifice in the divine liturgy, by climbing on top of a cross. And in fact, where the altar table is, the altar table itself is the head of the cross, and the stage on which the altar table sits are the arms of the cross, and it goes down into the earth. So imagine this. Look at the visualization there, where you have the divine liturgy, the sacrifice taking place on a cross. Now, when you understand this, does it really matter what language it's in? See, we get caught up with the minutiae. We look at, well, the language is here, the language I can't understand. No, if you understand the concepts, if you understand that this is a reenactment, this is our opportunity to stand up there and be part of the passion play, so to speak, that we are standing up there and we are giving ourselves as Christ gave himself to the world. We now are giving ourselves to one another. By this they will know that you are my children, that you love one another. How simple is that? Why do we need to complicate it? And we do. We complicate it by, well, building artificial barriers. And this is why, I guess today when I shared with you my little frustration, or let me say a surrealistic moment for me, sitting up on that eighth floor and looking down and seeing, you know, all this transpiring and seeing the old world clashing with the new world and the little Armenia and all that. You know, this is all beautiful. And it's very symbolic. And I know there are so many people who just melt when they see all this. But let me tell you, an equal number, if not more people, are just kind of tired of it. Are kind of tired of all the extra hoopla that's been put into it without really pointing to what this hoopla is all about. If you know what it's about, then the hoopla makes sense. Then you could say, hoopla, yes. But if that hoopla is not understood, then it is just hoopla. It's extra. Now this week we commemorate the Holy Evangelists in the Armenian Church. It is the commemoration or the celebration of the Feast of the Holy Evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who are these people? These are the people who evangelized. In Armenian, the word is avedaranich. Avedis, that is the key to this whole thing. The Avedis is the good news. In English, gospel, it means good news. Avedis, Avedaran are the formal gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the books that occupy the first four books of the New Testament. Okay? The gospels. The good news. What is the good news? The good news is something incredible, something shaking, something not only earth-shaking, life-changing. And what is that? That Christ has resurrected. That Christ has overcome the most difficult of difficulties. That he's even conquered death. This was the original gospel that was spoken 2,000 years ago. When Jesus came out of the grave, it shook up the world. It was the news, the ultimate news. I mean, imagine you're seeing your friend up on a cross, beaten, tortured. He suffocates to death after 3 long hours. There's no such rules about cruel and unusual punishment. This was cruel and unusual. And you see your friend going through that. And then you take him and you put him into a grave. And you put a big stone in front of that grave and you say, okay, let him rest in peace. But you get there 3 days later and the stone's been moved. And Jesus' body's not there. What happens? Well, you start doubting. You say, what's going on? Somebody must have stolen the body. I mean, it's only natural. I mean, we've all had that experience. We've passed by many cemeteries, right? What is the scene that you see at cemeteries? You see people going in. You don't see people coming out. And therefore, it's not news. Definitely not good news. It's not even news. It's people go in. Yes, that's the way of life. You go into the cemetery. Now, if you saw somebody coming out of the cemetery, now that's news, right? And that's what happened on Easter. They came out of the cemetery. Who did? Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. And not only did he come out, he started to show himself. And in revealing himself, the disciples became convinced to the point that they went out into the world and started convincing others. And of course, they ran across doubters. They ran across people who wanted to give it the litmus test. There were others who wouldn't believe even if they did see, right? And all different kinds of characters until today, we run across the same different characters. People who will believe no matter what you say. People who won't believe no matter what you say. No matter what proof you give them. There will be people who will doubt, people who will want to test, people who will want to put it under inspection, who will ask the questions that need to be asked. So 2,000 years ago, today, it's the same story. Okay, there's going to be people who are going to be fanatic about it. There'll be people who will doubt it. All kinds of. You know, it's a whole spectrum. But here's the story, okay? The evangelists were the ones who took this story of Jesus Christ, gave us the good news that he has conquered, and that good news started to blossom so that we understood, well, why did he conquer death? Well, it was God's desire for us to be in harmony, for him to enjoy his creation and for his creation to enjoy the Creator, for us to be reconciled with one another, so that God did not forget his creation, but he loved us so much, he cared us about us so much, that he broke away all barriers. It doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what color your hair you have. It doesn't matter how many toes you have on your feet. You are a creation of God. And God loves you so much that you are, well, you're part of his family. He's made you a member of his family. And as a member, you have all the rights, and here it is, the word that we don't like to hear, the responsibilities of being a Christian. Among the chief responsibilities is to love, to practice that love in your daily life. And so the evangelists gave us this good news. The Ave Daran, the Ave Dis, they gave us the good news that God is not through with us. God cares about us so much that he interacts with us. He gives us his son. And so the Armenian Church commemorates the holy evangelist. And so here we are, 2,000 years later, and you remember this story of the holy evangelists, that there were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these four traditions, and the authors of the four Gospels, and they presented the good news to us. And that is a bit of history. Now that history has to come alive, and how does it come alive? By you proclaiming that gospel message. Now, this is a tough one, but it's not that tough because God gives us all the tools that we need. See, you're part of the equation, and this is why I said earlier, if the Badarak, the Holy Divine Liturgy, is something you're just going to sit through, you will get tired of it. In fact, I get tired of it if I have to just sit through it, okay? There's my confession. You sit through the Divine Liturgy once, twice, then you start becoming critical of the singers, about the pace of it, about the length of it, and all the extras that fill up the time because, well, after all, you're just watching a show. And you can watch a show just so many times before you get so bored of it, and then you walk away. But once you understand that the Divine Liturgy is a recreation of that sacrifice, of God's loving us so much, it is a recreation of the good news that God cares about us so much that he destroys any boundaries. We can now start imagining there is no heaven and there is no hell. We can start imagining there are no countries. There's nothing to live or die for. In other words, a brotherhood of men, as John Lennon said. We start imagining that because we realize that it is a possibility in the formula that God gives us. And that formula is a simple one. Love one another. And so this Sunday in the Armenian Church, as I said a few moments ago, it's very special for me because 29 years ago I celebrated my first Divine Liturgy and it was the lectionary reading for this Sunday. It still is. It comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. And interestingly enough, it is Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry. He has spent 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. And if you know anything about the holy orders of the Armenian Church, the priest is consecrated. In other words, his baptism, his new beginning, his new birth. He is given a new name. The ordaining bishop gives him a new name because he is now beginning a new life. And before he begins his ministry, he spends 40 days secluded as Jesus, before he started his ministry, spent 40 days in the wilderness. So too the priest, after being consecrated, after beginning his new life, he spends 40 days away, secluded. And that's what happened to me. I spent 40 days away, secluded. And then I arrived at the Divine Liturgy this Sunday. And lo and behold, what do I read? The lectionary reading for this Sunday comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Listen to this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And you know the story about how he gets tempted, changes the rocks to bread. And then verse 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So he began his preaching by saying that this scripture is now fulfilled. Think about it for a moment. The priest begins his ministry with this beautiful passage. Beautiful because it is the expression of what Jesus started out with. And what do we call that? Well, in American corporate culture, we call that the mission statement of the organization. And so here is the mission statement of the Christian church. Not because I said it, but because Holy Scripture points to it, that this is the mission statement of the Christian church. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has consecrated me. He has ordained me as a new priest to proclaim good news to the poor. Wow. That, hey, poor people, it's not about what you have in your pocket anymore. Here's the good news. God loves you, and it's about what you have in your heart. It's not what's in your pocket, but what's in your heart. You got it? That's the good news. Evangelists. Avedis, that is the Avedis. Let's continue. Mission statement. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Hey, you prisoners, you know who you are. You are being held back because of your past, because of all of the baggage that you bring into your life. You're not getting along with your family. You're not getting along with your workmates. You're not getting along with your spouse. You're not getting along with yourself. You are prisoned by all of your past. Let go of it because you are now forgiven. You have an opportunity to start brand new. God so loves you. He cares about you so much that you don't need to bring in your past. If God loves you, how dare someone not love you? If you are a creation of God, how dare someone look down upon you? You are the most shining star out there. You are the epitome of all creation because he has created you in his image. Is there something greater than that? Is there a key that could open up your prison quicker than that key? He has sent me to give recovery of sight for the blind. Hey, you know who you are. You're blind. Because every day you pass all the beauty around you, the smile in your children's eyes. You've missed that flower blossoming. You went to the beach the other day and you didn't even take a moment to look out at the waves and the grandeur and all the beauty that God has created up in the heavens. Tonight, the stars and the moon. Recovery of sight for the blind. Jesus is telling you this has all been created, and you are part of that creation. God loves you. Enjoy that creation. Open your eyes. He has sent me to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When is that? When is that going to take place? Right now. It's happening right now in your presence, Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you are now free. There is no more oppression. It is all for you. Now think about how powerful that statement is. Think about how beautiful that statement is. Think how it touches you in your life. Whatever past you've had, whatever difficulties you're having right now, God is opening it up. There is no more oppression. You are free. You are a child of God. The sacrifice has been made for you, and now you need to sacrifice back for others who have been in those difficult situations just as you. And for this you were ordained. I felt that. When I received that ordination and I opened up the Holy Scriptures for the day of my first divine liturgy, it was as if God told me that this is the ministry that has been entrusted to you. It is the same ministry that has been given throughout the centuries to each and every priest that has entered into the Holy Priesthood. And now, on this celebration, on this Sunday, it is a ministry that is given to you. Through this next step, you want to take the next step? Here it is. This is the next step in your life. Feel empowered, knowing that God loves you so much that you now have this opportunity. We're going to get back to it in just a couple minutes. I'm going to break for a few minutes and get to Ani with today's spiritual bubbles. Get ready. We're going to come back in a few minutes and really rock the boat. Okay? Here's Ani with today's spiritual bubbles.
The Sparrow at Starbucks. Today's spiritual bubble. It was chilly in Manhattan, but warm inside the Starbucks shop on 51st Street and Broadway, just a skip up from Times Square. Early November weather in New York City holds only the slightest hint of the bitter chill of late December and January, but it's enough to send the masses crowding indoors to vie for available space and warmth. For a musician, it's the most lucrative Starbucks location in the world, I'm told, and consequently, the tips can be substantial if you play your tunes right. Apparently, we were striking all the right chords that night because our basket was almost overflowing. It was a fun, low-pressure gig. I was playing keyboard and singing backup for my friend, who also added rhythm with an arsenal of percussion instruments. We mostly did pop songs from the 40s to the 90s, with a few original tunes thrown in somewhere. During our emotional rendition of the classic, If You Don't Know Me By Now, I noticed a lady sitting in one of the lounge chairs across from me. She was swaying to the beat and singing along. After the tune was over, she approached me. I apologized for singing along to that song. Did it bother you? She asked. No, I replied. We love it when the audience joins in. Would you like to sing up front for the next selection? To my delight, she accepted my invitation. You choose, I said. What are you in the mood to sing? Well, she thought, do you know any hymns? Hymns? Did this woman know who she was dealing with? I cut my teeth on hymns. Before I was even born, I was going to church. I gave our guest singer a knowing look. Name one. Oh, I don't know. There's so many good ones, she said. You pick one. Okay, I replied. I thought about it and said, how about His Eye Is on the Sparrow? My new friend was silent, her eyes averted, and then she fixed her eyes on mine again and said, yeah, let's do that one. She slowly nodded her head, put down her purse, straightened her jacket, and faced the center of the shop. With my two-bar set up, she began to sing. Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? She sang. The audience of coffee drinkers was transfixed. Even the gurgling noises of the cappuccino machine ceased as the employees stopped what they were doing to listen. The song rose to its conclusion. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. When that last note was sung, the applause crescendoed to a deafening roar that would have rivaled a sold-out crowd at Carnegie Hall. Embarrassed, the woman tried to shout over the din, Oh, y'all go back to your coffee. I didn't come in here to do a concert. Just came in here to get something to drink, just like you. But the ovation continued. I embraced my new friend. You, my dear, I told her, have made my whole year. That was beautiful. Well, she said, it's funny that you picked that particular hymn. Why is that? I asked. Well, she hesitated again. That was my daughter's favorite song. Really? I exclaimed. Yes, she said, and then grabbed my hands. By this time, the applause had subsided, and it was business as usual. She was 16. She died of a brain tumor last week. I said the first thing that found its way through the stunned silence. Are you going to be okay? She smiled through tear-filled eyes and squeezed my hands. I'm going to be okay. I've just got to keep trusting the Lord and singing His songs, and everything's going to be fine. She picked up her bag, gave me her card, and then she was gone. Was it just a coincidence that we happened to be singing in that particular coffee shop on that particular November night? Coincidence that this wonderful lady just happened to walk into that particular shop? Coincidence that all of the hymns to choose from, I just happened to pick the very hymn that was a favorite of her daughter, who died the week before? I refuse to believe it. God has been arranging encounters in human history since the beginning of time, and it's no stretch for me to imagine that God could reach into a coffee shop in Midtown Manhattan and turn an ordinary gig into a revival. It was a great reminder that if we keep trusting God and singing the songs, everything's gonna be okay. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
How beautiful, Ani. Trust God and everything will be okay. I love it. I love it. That's what it's about, right? I mean, again, we're right in tune, right? Isn't that what the mission statement is? Trust God and everything will be okay. You don't have to worry about it anymore. He's reconciled. You don't have to worry about death because He is resurrected. Hey, this is what we're all about. Thank you, Ani. And, I'm glad you made it down. I know. The Armenian Pope can't wait to hear your stories. Maybe you can reflect on it? Okay. Anyway, I know you got to get back to work. Thank you so much for doing that. Let's take a break for a moment and hear what Susie has to tell us.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that important message, and please listen to it. I want to take this opportunity to thank Professor Nicholas and his wife, Janine Economides, for sponsoring today's podcast. They are sponsoring a few of these podcasts now, and want to invite others to do likewise. You know what Susie talks about when she says about supporting it? There's so many ways that you could support it. I've spoken to you about donating. Let me speak to you right now about the last thing that Susie said. How did you say that? Yes, to share our enthusiasm. Okay, sharing enthusiasm, it's, you know, it's viral, it's contagious, it's easy. Stick it in an email. Stick today's link in an email. Send it out to a couple of your friends. Say, hey, I stumbled upon this. Listen to it. The Next Step, the Compass shows, all of the different programming that we have. Do you know right now we are just about every day of the week there's something new coming out on Epostle. We are just building up this incredible library. So excited that we launched Compass a couple weeks ago. Well, the lineup is like this. Every Sunday, you could get it on US Armenia. You could get our show called In Step with Christ. Every Monday morning, Armenian Bible Study with Mashtots Jobanyan. That's on epostle.net. Streamed to you right into your living rooms. Fantastic for the people in Europe because, hey, our time, 10 o'clock in the morning, is your dinner time. Great time. Sit around with the family. Enjoy 1 hour. Armenian Bible study. There it is. Every Tuesday, we have Compass with Linda Zadoyan. Every Wednesday, we have Questions of Faith. It's our Bible study in English language. Every Thursday, of course, you have Next Step. And every Friday, we're giving you a day to catch your breath. We catch our breath, too. And then there we are. By Friday, you should. And Saturday, you've got the Sermon of the Week that's popping up on Epostle. So you've got all of this programming, all of this educational resource coming to you just every single day of the week. And it comes because of your prayers, your constant support. And that support is very simple. Okay, I've spoken to you about the donations that you make. Here's a simple way that you could do it. Okay, along with the donation. Send out a link. As Susie says, share our enthusiasm. Send out the link. Tell your friends about it. Tell them, hey, get on board, epostle.net. If you find something that you like, something that you want to share, do share it. Don't be embarrassed about it. You know, you share all kinds of weird things anyway, don't you? How many emails have you sent out lately with these jokes of this and that, right? Here's something important. I'm going to tell you how important that is in just a couple moments. We're going to be concluding today's show, but I want to just encourage you. Be like the Economides. Be like others. Be a supporter of the Next Step in his shoes and, of course, Epostle Ministry. It's all for you.
Can't say God bless. Much of anything that's new. If I could only work this life out.
Well, we're going to wind down today's show in just a few minutes. We're running up against the clock. I get so excited about this show. I don't know where the time goes. But before we do that, I want to just take this opportunity to tell you that, well, we did review some of our programming, but did tell you that had an opportunity to talk to a couple people about the programming that we're doing over here. And it's very important that we keep things in focus. And Epostle was created to be the spokesperson, to be the voice of In His Shoes and Armodoxy. And all of these things fall into place. Here I am, an Armenian priest. I'm looking off from the 8th floor of that hospital building. I'm seeing a world down there where it is called Little Armenia. I'm seeing a world down there that is part of the old world touching the new world. And there's just remnants. There's a pontiff coming up with the beautiful Armenian robes and vestments. And then I'm seeing on the other side young people who just have no clue what this is about. And why should they have a clue when it doesn't speak to them? So here is an opportunity to bring this all together. I'm calling it Armodoxy. I'm asking you to share in that, okay? Armenian Orthodoxy for today. Because you are a recipient of Armenian Orthodoxy, so am I. We all have our say-so. We all have our portion of communion to share in that Armenian Orthodox experience, okay? So how do we do that? Well, by taking the past. Our past is rich. It is filled with so many beautiful, beautiful traditions, but it also is littered with blood, with corpses, with death, with dying. We have seen actually genocide. And because we have seen genocide, it is important for us to be the first people to react to acts of violence, to react to injustices throughout the world. Namely, we have to be the first people to act and speak up against genocide. Today, genocide is taking place in Darfur. I know many different political stages have been set. Don't look only at Darfur. Look at the rest of the world. Throughout the world, there are injustices. Look what's going on in the Middle East. Look what's going on in Africa. Look what's going on in your backyard, where there's injustices caused by the prejudices of neighbor against neighbor. And who needs to speak out against this if not the Christian Church, the holy body of Jesus Christ, the one that has been commissioned by Christ himself? He said the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Do you realize how powerful that church is? And that church is now coming to you with a unique mission, telling you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's all coming together. That's the mission. And in his shoes is a way of expressing that mission. It's not the only way. It is a way. It is a symbol of putting your foot in the shoes of others. Because once you put your foot in the shoe of somebody who is hungry, you start feeling their pain, and then you start reaching out to them and giving them the food that they need. Once you start putting your foot inside of the shoe that has walked the 10, if not 20, if not 30 miles in the desert trying to get their destination because of the famine that they've experienced, because of the genocide that they've experienced, you start feeling their pain and you start saying, because I feel it, I now respect their pain. And this is such a beautiful tradition. In fact, I've said many times that the Armenians have captured this in this beautiful expression called Tzavadanim. Let me take your pain. Let me realize what your pain is. And in so taking that pain, I now can better assist you. I better understand. So here are the opportunities. In His Shoes mission is exactly about that. It's about proclaiming our Christian responsibility to a world that is littered with blood, littered with wars, littered with famine, and of course with genocide. And who needs to react to this if not the Christian community, the body of Jesus Christ? And who more should be sensitive to these pains but the Armenian section of Christ's body? In other words, people who have experienced genocide, who have seen bloodshed, who have gone through war, have experienced homelessness, and have experienced that thirst and hunger out in the wilderness. And it's for this reason that In His Shoes really does an incredible ministry. We're out there in the streets. We're out there in Sudan. We're in places where you cannot imagine the Armenian spirit to be. We are there. We're not going to play the game by the old rules. Yes, I am that priest sitting on that eighth floor, looking down on a place called Little Armenia, seeing an Armenian pontiff with his mitre, with his staff, with his entourage, coming and talking and falling on deaf ears. And I'm seeing that that beautiful message needs to be proclaimed today and every day, and it's in our hands. Are you ready to do it? Then this is the revolution we're called to respond to. It is the revolution we're calling Armedoxy. You see, it's Armenian Orthodoxy, but for today. And it's a unity, bringing it all together. Armedoxy. It's that. That's how simple it is. And we're inviting you to be a part of that. And I thank you for allowing me to be a part of that through your prayers, through your constant dedication, by listening to this, by pressing the forward button, and I invite your responses. Drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know your thoughts and your opinions. That's it, folks. we are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us and invite you to join us throughout the week at all the places that I told you. You know, every single day of the week there's something going on. Join us at epostle.net. That's where you'll find today's podcast as well as all the podcasts we've done since the beginning of time. You'll find all of the other podcasts, especially the new one, Compass with Linda Zadoya. Join us at the mothership, the flagship, it is called inissues.org. On our blogs, all the different places that you'll find us. Until next week, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank Nicholas and Janine Economides for sponsoring today's show. For Susie, our producer. For Ani with her bubbles. For Ken, our engineer. This is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.